If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Emily Knox joins us now, a professor of library and information science at the University of Illinois at Urbana. She was one of the experts who testified at that Senate hearing about book banning. Emily, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN.
Thank you for having me.
We discussed this on a podcast and on the radio here this week at WGN. It seems to me like the Democrats, Alexi Janulius, our Secretary of State and state librarian, said, let the parents decide. Have the vast array of information and books out there and let parents decide what their kids read. And it seems as though the Republicans generally say it'd be better if we had locally elected library boards. Let's have some oversight. Let's let detractors in the community use their influence, because if their motives are sincere, and I'm willing to believe they are, then let's find a way to exercise a little, if not censorship, accommodation for the people that don't think some of these books are appropriate. So maybe that's the fairest presentation of the two sides on this. Would you agree with that?
I would say that this is kind of a confusion of how libraries actually work. So almost all public libraries have locally elected library boards. The question, though, is, who should have a say over what is in the library collection? And if one person brings up, or even a small group of people bring up an objection to something in the collection, must the library board accede to that objection? So I think that's really where there is a disagreement. There's sort of an idea that, well, if someone brings this up, then everybody must disagree with this particular book being in the library. And in fact, libraries have policies for reviewing this information. They're just basic requests for consideration. Often there's a committee that makes a recommendation to the board on whether or not a particular material should be retained or not. So it seems to me like the concern is really about much more about a misunderstanding of library policies, and also a concern about, well, if I bring this up, then there's a perception that I'm a censor. This is not so much in the library world, but I think a lot of people are wondering why people are having so many objections to books that other people don't consider to be objectionable.
Well, if that's the process and that's generally in place, then when a book like Gender Queer comes up and somebody says, I don't think kids should be exposed to that in a public library, and the library board reviews that, I guess they can decide to do whatever they want. They don't have to accommodate every objection, right?
That's correct.
And in those instances where then the book does get banned, is that a reasonable process, or is the very fact that a library would determine that that should be off their local shelf a problem?
I think this is that's a really great question, and I would answer it a couple different ways. So first of all, what is the objection to Genderqueer? It is a person's memoir. It's a graphic memoir. A graphic narrative that is describing someone finding their own identity.
Suffering abuse. Go ahead.
Yes. You can describe it as something that should not be on the shelves, right? We don't want to discuss this. But I think it's also important to remember that there are kids who are, and adults and young people who are going through these own things themselves, right? And sometimes by saying, we don't want this on the shelf, you're saying your struggles are not legitimate. So I do think it has to be approached with nuance. I understand that many people are uncomfortable about what they see in Genderqueer, but I think it's also important to think about, why am I uncomfortable with this? What is my concern?
Mm-hmm.
Am I able to talk to my own kids about my values if they encounter this book. And I think this often gets lost in this discussion.
Yeah, but maybe that very person you're describing who's uncomfortable with it doesn't have to justify their discomfort to you or me. Those are graphic words and phrases in this graphic novel, and they don't want to talk about it. And but now their child has, quote, in theory, been exposed to it. I wonder if that's really happened. Has it really happened where a kid came home and said, "Mommy, what does this mean?" And now I have to have that conversation, or is this just an imagined problem for people? Now, respond to that, Emily, in just a minute. And Emily, just a moment ago, I cut you off, but you were saying that maybe if a family is uncomfortable with some books on a shelf in a library, like genderqueer, maybe they should think about why they're uncomfortable with that. And then I said to you, well, maybe that's not fair to them. Maybe their discomfort is genuine and they don't want to talk about this with their kids. What was your response to that?
I would say two things. First of all, as an adult and a parent, part of the job is responding to things that your child might bring up that are uncomfortable, right? It's part of your job to talk to your child about your values, what you think about the world, even if it is uncomfortable. I don't see how you can get out of that as being a parent. Also, there's an idea that somehow if my child doesn't read this, then they will never come to me with these ideas about perhaps their own gender or the gender of one of their friends. I don't know that the books do anything like that. Gender is something that people feel inside of them, and it's possible that one of their friends is going through, thinking about what their gender or sexuality might be. The book doesn't make that not happen or happen. You cannot get away from these questions about our identity and who we are and what it means to be a human being.
So that's a judgment that we'll make as a society. And if you're uncomfortable with that, that's a problem you're going to have to manage. This material should be available. There's other things you might not like about the world, but we can't fix it for you. You know, that sounds like where you're going to land on this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm uncomfortable talking to kids about things like school shootings, right? That seems to be something that we are not really wrestling with in this country. That doesn't mean that, you know, my stepkids won't come to me and ask me about school shootings.
Well, does it happen often in the case of libraries? Have there been reported incidents of families struggling with this because the child was exposed and is now somehow twisted? I mean, how real is this scenario anyway?
So I disagree with the term twisted.
You understand my point. Pardon me.
But I understand. I understand your point.
Confused. Perplexed.
I think it happens in different ways and different cases. There are some times when kids read something, an age-appropriate book, a book intended for kids. And I will say that one of the best anecdotes that I've heard about this, though, are when a kid has read something about child abuse and say to their parents, "This has happened to me." It gave them the vocabulary to be able to talk about something terrible that was happening to them. So it's not always something like, "Oh, you know, I read this thing and now I have decided that this describes me." That doesn't always happen. Each child, each person brings their own experiences and understanding to a book. And so you can't say that like any one person will read a book and be affected the same way.
When Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana read from one of the books for shock value to the assembled, mm-hmm. and Janulius had to respond to that, what was your reaction to that scene?
Well, I've already read All Boys Aren't Blue. I've actually met George Johnson before. They are a wonderful person. What I would say is that Kennedy pulled that particular scene out of context. There are actually two different scenes in that particular book. One is actually about child rape. That was actually the one that Max Eden read first, which I find appalling that people do not give the context for this. Also, when George describes the scene of a sexual encounter, a consensual sexual encounter, they say very clearly that they are not using euphemism to describe this because they wish that someone had taken the time to say, this is what sex might like be like for you, and not encounter it without knowing what was going on. The idea that people should be ignorant, I think, is a problem. That, you know, you should never be able to read about something that, like sex, right? The way that it was introduced by Senator Kennedy without any context and without actually by turning George's words against them, I actually find rather appalling.
One last thing, you know, I don't know if they addressed this in the hearing, but I thought, I wonder what the perceived damage is. Like, if we're saying, no, we have to shelter kids from this, has anybody said because of what? Like, maybe you're uncomfortable with this, but what's the damage or harm done? Except, you know, you don't want to have this conversation with your kids, maybe, or you don't want your kids to be exposed to it. But is there any evidence that exposure to this kind of literature somehow harms the children? I don't know if people have asked or answered that question.
There isn't evidence of that. I will say that there is evidence of what can happen if you are ignorant about your own body, about the world around you, about how other people live. This is, as I mentioned in my testimony, what books can do from Rudy and Sims Bishop, that they can be mirrors, windows, sliding glass doors. Do we want our children, do we want the people around us, adults, to not know and understand other people? That to me is what you get when you start saying, no, I want to remove information, books from other people, because I have decided that this is not something that other people should know. You are putting yourself in a place of power and saying, I know best. I know what is best for not only my children, other people's children, also adults. And to me, that is not the world that I would like to live in.
Emily Knox is a professor of library and information science at the U of I at Urbana-Champaign and is the board president of the National Coalition Against Censorship. I'm really glad you were there. I'm really glad you had time for us today. I'm going to call on you again. I don't think this is the last conversation we'll have, but very interesting today. Emily, thanks for your help.
Thank you very much.